other.
Final hour for us here on a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. It's Freedom Week Friday. Freedom Week is almost over. Picking up the kids tomorrow from Lake Wenatchee. One more night, though. The CEO and I got one more night together. Going over to KB Winery for a little musical act. A musical, I should say. Wine tasting and camping. I don't know what they expect. But here we come. We'll be driving over in Goldie. If you see us along I-90, wave and say hi. We'll be going up the pass at 35. I'll have hazards on. This hour brought to you by, of course, our good friends. Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. They're here to remind you that it is always 420 at Buddies. But not if you're in the Olympics. Don't do it. Not in the Olympics, because then you can't go. Headlines real quick. Vikings assistant coach, offensive line coach Rick Dennison is out. He has been fired by the Minnesota Vikings today. Why? He is refusing to get a COVID-19 vaccination. Some strong parallels, maybe what will happen over at Washington State with Nick Rolovich. Will there be some type of action there involving the university? Okay, those are your headlines. Mariners back at it today. Game two, they're taking on the Oakland A's. Yusei Kikuchi is on the mound. Mariners 4.5 games back there of the Oakland Athletics there in the wild card standing. Circling Raven brings you our leaderboard update from the 3M Open. Visit Circling Raven, cdacasino.com, over there in Worley, Idaho. If you've never been to Circling Raven, you are a golf fan, it's a must stop and a must trip to go over there. Bo Hoag is your leader right now at 9-under. Actually, he's tied with Ches Reavie. Both are at 9-under. Actually, they're all... Never mind. Maybe look at the leaderboard before you start rattling it off, you moron. Jonathan Vegas also at 9-under. Roger Sloan, 4-away lead there right now. Joel Damon, our good buddy, is at 2-under right now, but he has just started. He is 1-under through two holes. All right. Every Friday at noon, we get a little pick-me-up. He is our local version of Ted Lasso. Ladies and gentlemen, 19-time Emmy Award winner from the residing from Puyallup, makes his home down there. He is a pillar of the community, and he is the your anchor du jour for King 5 and all Seattle sports. Ladies and gentlemen, the Prince of Puyallup, Chris Egan on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. How much have you slept since this whole thing has started? The Olympics.
Jason, I'm looking at about 6 hours in the last 3 days. I'm a walking zombie right now, but I'm loving life. I'm now on the morning shows doing Olympic updates from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then we have an Ozone show that airs it aired at 7:30 last night, but we'll start airing at 4:30 on King 5. But this morning show crew, they're a blast to work with, Jake, Mimi, and Rich, but I'm a zombie. I don't know when to sleep. I don't know when to eat. I had a hamburger at 4 a.m. this morning. I'm having Diet Coke at 8 a.m. I mean, my body is going to be a wreck after this thing, but I'm having a blast because I love the Olympics. And tonight, it's the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, you got Sue Bird bringing out the flag, the U.S. flag tonight. There's a drone shot tonight, Puckett. If you haven't seen it on Twitter or on Instagram, it's absolutely amazing how they take all these drones and put them into a big planet. Some good stuff tonight, and the games are underway. I was over at Danielle Laurie's house in south of Everett the other night watching her pitch with her family. Then Toddie Forbes from Redmond. I was down at a bar in Seattle watching her pitch for Mexico.
Are you like doing a story on them, or are you just hanging out with these people and like getting free food and drink? What are you doing?
Well, you know me, a little bit of both. I'm a little bit of both, Buck. We're doing a story. And we're getting food.
Hey, no double dipping, Egan. No double dipping on the chips.
And we're not asleep. And the sleep got to me yesterday. Puckett, I go to my son's baseball game. I hadn't slept. I go to the game.
Oh.
Couple bad calls, and Ted Lasso comes out, and I'm firing haymakers at the umps. And I think they had to escort me out of there. I don't know. But, you know, life's going on, and the Olympics are underway.
Yeah, get some sleep, will you? All right. You know, it's important. Did you ever have you rethought of my idea of during this just getting a hotel down there? Near the office.
It's a great idea, but I'm like you, I'm a family guy. I want to see my kids and I want to see my wife. And so you know, I just, and I tried to take an hour nap yesterday, and everybody's out of the house, but the stinking dog's barking. So I couldn't take a nap because the dog is yipping around. But, you know, it's okay because, you know, I'd rather get home and see the wife. And you know what? It's bonus time because I should be in Tokyo right now. So every moment I get to see my kid, like watching my kid pitch yesterday in baseball, that's bonus time for me. So I'm okay with it. You know, I'll sleep in 3 weeks. That's how I'm telling her.
What kind of burger did you have at 4 a.m?
Well, one of those Costco ones where you buy the whole Angus beef, like there's 8 of them. And I threw one in the microwave at 4 a.m. And literally this producer I don't even know looks at me and goes, "That doesn't look healthy." No, it's not.
Jeez. You're going to start rummaging through like the... Do you guys have like a communal fridge there?
There is.
You're going to start rummaging through that. You know,
I already did this morning. In fact, well, I'm saying it on the air right now. But
that's okay.
I had somebody's pepperoni pizza.
You got Rich has got his name on his food, old Rich Marriott, with his pepperoni pizza. And he's like, "What the hell?" Because Egan's in there just... My buddy used to work at Comcast Spotlight, which is, you know, just up the hill, like you know, kind of lower Queen Anne. And we would go to the bar. We would go to the bars like Aussies and the Mecca, and then we'd go back in to his place at Comcast. And they had a fridge, and like on Saturday nights, and we would just rummage through these people's fridges and just like eat all their food. It was
it was a low moment yesterday having Rich Marriott's pizza pocket that I didn't ask him to eat. But you know what? You got to survive. That's what it's about. So
it's survive or die, man.
And I give credit to honestly anybody that works this morning shift because I don't know how you do it.
Oh.
I mean, how do you go to bed at, you know, everybody's telling me, "Egan, you got to go to bed at 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. Seriously, it's like light out. I got the kids out playing basketball. How in the world do you do that? I have no idea.
I don't know. I really don't know. The people that work morning shows, whether it's radio, TV, you know, especially, I mean, radio, it's still dressed like a slob. So that's okay. You know, you can be in your sweats or whatever you're in. TV, I don't get it. I don't know how they do it.
I got to take a shower every day. I'm taking a shower at like 1:20 a.m. It's like I said, it's fun and it's worth it. And the Olympics officially begin today, but we're 4 days in really of covering events. I mean, softball teams have been playing. They've had 2 games in. And we are at this bar in Seattle, the Flatstick, I believe is the name.
Flatstick Pub, yeah. Owned by a couple of Cougs.
So Robert Forbes Jr. is the general manager. His sister, Toddy, is playing in the Olympics, and they played wiffle ball together. It's a great story, and Robert, giving him credit, told his sister at a young age, "You need to switch it. You need to be a left-handed hitter." She learned to do that playing wiffle ball in the front yard in Redmond. Now she's playing for Mexico in the Olympics. But what I'm getting to, Puckett, is what I love about these games is they're all there watching the family, and I turned to Dad, and he's got a mic on. I said, "Dad, your daughter's in the Olympics. What does this mean?" And Puckett, I'm telling you what, I don't choke up a lot during interviews because I've done a lot over the years, but Dad looked at me and I like, he's going to lose it. And he just started bawling. Mm. And you could just tell the pride, you know, the sacrifice that not only his daughter made, but him and his wife have made, the brothers have made, the family have made to get her to this point. And it's just, every one of these athletes has a story like that. And so to hear Robert Forbes Sr. talk about his daughter and just how much pride he has in her, it choked me up as a parent of three. And it makes me want to do a better job and tell great stories on these kids. And with that in mind, I'm not going to sleep, Puckett, until this thing's over. So, you know, let's just keep it rolling.
How much, when does it start tonight here on King 5?
So the big thing tonight is going to be the opening ceremony, unless you were like me watching it live at 4 a.m. But it will air at 4:30 tonight. It's a 4-hour ceremony, by the way. So buckle down.
buckle down and pour yourself a cocktail.
gone are the days of encyclopedias like you and I had back in the day when you would look up a country. Now you could just watch the opening ceremony of an Olympic, and they go through every country, you know, in the world and talk about it. So your kids, you know, I say get your kids up and you can learn a little bit tonight. And then they do a good job. NBC does a great job. They have interviews with Sue Bird as she's carrying the flag. They have Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. soccer team as they're heading out to practice and trying to regroup and get ready for their second match. And so there's just some pretty neat moments during this opening ceremony. And then, boom, we've got events live tonight. USA Softball will be playing tonight at 11:10. They've got a game, and then it's just, I think I heard 7,000 hours of coverage over the next 2.5 weeks on all the NBC platforms.
What can you, since it already aired, I mean, can you give stuff away? Like, I mean, like people who, like who the torchbearer is, like who lights the cauldron, all that kind of stuff?
I think I can for you. I'm fine with that. I mean, I said it on the morning show this morning, and I'm still here, and my key card still works. So the final one to light the cauldron will be Naomi Osaka.
Okay.
Tennis star for Japan, and she's in her first Olympic Games and has a chance to win a gold medal. Now, she didn't play at Wimbledon or the French Open, but it means a lot for her to be playing in Japan and going for a gold for her country. And he had Rui Hachimura, which was from Gonzaga. Sue Bird was in Eddie Alvarez carrying the American flag, and right after them was Japan, and you had Rui Hachimura, the former Gonzaga star, was bringing out the Japan flag. So pretty neat stuff there.
Have we heard, in all seriousness, have we heard if she's going to do any media?
Sue?
No, Osaka.
Oh, Naomi. Oh, gotcha. I have not heard that at all. I figured after tonight she probably would have with all, you know, her role today, so we'll have to see. I'm sure she did something, but I can't honestly tell you if she did or not.
Who is the first, if you know this, and I don't want to put you on the spot, who's the first local athlete to be that we can watch, see in an event?
Well, we've already had the softball, so you have they're underway. So you have 5 UW athletes there, and Ali Aguilar, Daniel Laurie, Hayward, you've got Jen Salling playing for Canada. So they've got Gabby playing pitches for Australia. So they are underway. You had Megan Rapinoe with Team USA Soccer.
Yeah, what's up and with them? Are they on the verge of being eliminated already?
Well, I think a lot of people in soccer are making a big, and rightfully so. They got killed by Sweden. I mean, it was 3-0. It should have been like 6-0 that match, and they got destroyed. It was a wake-up call, but I tell everybody, Sweden is the 5th-ranked team in the world, so they're not a bad team. So hopefully the U.S. can just use this and learn from it, and they should be fine. They take care of New Zealand, who I believe they're playing next tomorrow. They'll get through their group stage and then on to the medal rounds next week.
Chris Egan with us, the Prince of Puyallup. He joins us every Friday at noon, bringing his sunshine and his optimism and his joy here to these airwaves. And he is this weekend playing in the Seattle Metro Pickleball Championship?
Pocket, this is the biggest pickleball tournament west of the Mississippi. It's called the Seattle Metro Pickleball Classic, and money is on the line. You have some of the best pickleball players in the country in Seattle. The tournament just kicked off today. They're playing at the Shore View Park in Shoreline.
Sure.
3-day tournament. Today it's the women's open singles today. Tomorrow it's the mixed open singles, doubles. Excuse me, it's doubles. Women's open doubles today, mixed open doubles tomorrow. And then on Sunday, yours truly will be in the men's open doubles with all the professionals, these 21-year-olds, right out of college, Division I athletes, all chasing after thousands of dollars of prize money. And then there's yours truly and my partner, Tyler Stotts, the pride of Enumclaw Buckley. We'll be teaming up together and going after some big upsets. If we get through one round, it will be a Cinderella story. But a lot of people, you know, they don't want to go up against us, and I understand why.
How are you going to perform on no sleep?
Well, I'm telling everybody I have to sleep Saturday night because I have to be ready for this. This is the biggest tournament probably of my life. I mean, there's money on the line. My dad's going to be coming up to coach. My daughter will be there coaching. So I have to be ready to go. So I am not going to work Sunday. I'm going to take Sunday off and just focus on the pickleball.
Okay, as you should. You know what I mean? Do you have like the headband and the wristband and all that kind of stuff? Do you dial it all up?
I may pull out my Johnny McEnroe outfit from the late 80s. You know, try to get into the heads of some of these young stars, these Riley Newmans out there, Tyson McGuffins. These are household pickleball names that you have no idea who I'm talking about, Puckett, but pickleball world does. Yeah, but Shoreview Park, no admission, by the way, Puckett, amazing. You know, I thought they'd be charging big money to get in there to watch this stuff, but Shoreview Park and Shoreline, Seattle Metro.
I've been up there. I know where that's at. I think that's the one that's got a skate park up there. I've been up there. I know where you're at. What I was going to ask you, on a somewhat serious note. So Rolovich is not vaccinated, and he's done talking about it. He's going to go to Pac-12 Media Day next week. I'm just curious, as someone who's a reporter who asks questions, do you think the reporters won't ask him a question about it since he told them, it's private?
It will be every question. Somebody will ask it. You know how this works. Bucket, and he's going to say, no, it's private. I'm not going to talk about it. Then we'll be followed up again, and it'll follow up again, and then he'll probably honestly leave the press conference.
That's what I'm expecting next week. He is going to walk out of the press conference.
I don't know how he doesn't, because we know how this works. You know, it's just that's the topic, and it's become the topic around Washington State football, whether you like it or not. He's gonna have to answer something about this, because it is a story. So and he's the head coach of a Pac-12 football team, and he's gonna have to answer to something there. Yeah. So.
Did you guys? Did you enjoy the Kraken party the other day? I missed you out there on the boat. We were cruising around the boat. It was like many seafarers.
We had Chris Daniels and Paul Silvies handling the Kraken. I was out at these Olympic parties, getting free food and hanging out with the family. So I was doing the Olympic coverage. That's where the money's at, Puckett, is in the Olympics. But, you know, the Kraken was where all the cool kids were hanging out. I didn't get to go there. I was in the trenches working hard. So
it
was fun. I'm excited for this team. I'm excited, you know, for the hype it's getting. I hope it continues, and I think it will. But I think there's a lot to learn. I mean, besides Ian Furness, you know, I mean, does anybody really know about hockey in this town? I don't think so at this point. So, I mean, we're all going to learn, and we're going to learn about this. And it's going to be exciting as we all learn together and grow with this team as they advance through the NHL.
It's going to be great. First of all, if you don't do a piece soon of getting out there and ice skating with these guys, then I'm going to be disappointed in you, all right? Some type of piece of you skating around. And can you imagine the first home game? It's a Saturday night, October 23rd. How much? I cannot wait to see that week on the secondary market how much tickets are. One, I mean, there's so many factors here. It's the start of the season. It's the first home. It's the home opener. It's a brand new sport, a brand new team. And then you're welcoming in the Canucks. As someone who goes up every year to a Canucks game, and I know what the prices are, these Canadians are going to flood down here. Trust me.
It is. Oh, you're right. I mean, just when the Toronto Blue Jays come to T-Mobile Park, how much that place is packed. And yes, you are correct. And it's going to be insane. And I'm not Jerry Bruckheimer, but let me just go ahead and paint the picture, because I think this is set in stone. I mean, the lights will go out, and you will hear some entertainment voice saying, it is time to release the Kraken. And the place
could be you.
Is going to go bananas. I mean, it is going to go bananas, and it's going to be so much fun having an NHL team in our town, and that instant rivalry with the Canucks, and as you know, somebody that goes up and watches the Canucks, it's so different on TV than to be in person. Yeah. To watch a hockey game in person is amazing.
I'm just telling you, they're going to be coming down here in waves with their Molson and Labatt's and their damn A's and their Nanaimo bars. And they play for keeps. I'm telling you, these Canadians, they don't screw around.
What's going to be interesting is there's a lot of Canucks fans in Seattle, and to see how they change their allegiance now. You know, these longtime Canucks fans are now they got to root for the Kraken now. That's your team.
It's going to be like 600. It's going to be like, I don't even know how much it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be crazy to get in there. It's going to be $600-$800 to get in on that first game. All right, get some sleep. Thanks for doing it. We'll check in with you next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you later, Puckett.
Yep, there he is. Chris Hegan, the Principality, joins us every Friday at noon, spreading his his joy and sunshine around the world. And again, the Olympics officially got started this morning. That's right. Naomi Osaka was the final person that carried the torch to light it. And good for her. Fans weren't there. So she was comfortable. You know, for someone who doesn't like all the attention, she sure has been in the news a lot today, in like the last 3 weeks. She's on three different covers. She's lighting the candle. Just kind of interesting. So that will get underway tonight, 4:30 there on King 5. All right, it is a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. Curtis is in the Red Box Producers Booth, smarter way to watch and play. I'm in the Ballpark Realty Studio, ballparkrealty.com, ballpark-realty.com. Give Jerry a call at 206-510-2749. Jerry made a $750 donation to the Ronald McDonald House yesterday or the other day, and it raises now our total to $15,750. All right, we got news out of the college football world, NFL, and no Nelson Cruz. We'll cover all of it next.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
All right, final 30 minutes for us. We would wrap here on this week. It's a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. It's Chris Egan Hasn't Slept Friday. We are inside the beautiful Ballpark Realty Studio, ballpark-realty.com. Give Jerry a call. Any real estate questions? 206-510-2749. The Athletic's got a story up there right now. Ken Rosenthal, Corey Brock, and others detailing that the Mariners are among a couple of teams interested in Adam Frazier, correct? Adam Frazier is the infielder there for the Pittsburgh Pirates, second baseman. And which is interesting because when he was on with Jim Bowden, he told Jim Bowden, I'm looking for a right-handed bat, second baseman. And he's not a right-handed bat, but whatever. That doesn't matter.
It was the bat that he was looking for, obviously.
That's what he has said publicly when he's been asked about it, a right-handed bat, infielder. But, whatever.
Well, Frazier seems to be somebody who's hitting .327, which is...
He is in, I think...
considerably better than anybody currently in the Mariners
line. Correct, and I believe, let me go to the stats, though, I think he leads the majors in hits. I'm pretty sure he does. I think he's got like 123. Stats.
Yeah, per the report, it's because he's under,
he's got one more year.
Yeah, under option through next, arbitration through next year, so he'd have club control for the following season.
Right. Which makes him attractive, obviously. No doubt about it. He's 29. He'll be 30 in December, right? Correct. So, yes, it would make him, and they just don't have a solution at second base right now. They just don't have anyone there that can fill that role. And nothing in their farm system that's ready to go. I think it's interesting, though. So, I'm all for it. I mean, you get Adam Frazier, great. You have him for another year under club control, it's great. It's fantastic. Here's what I don't understand about any Mariner fan that wants to pull off an Adam Frazier deal, right? And because what makes him attractive is that he has a year left of arbitration. He is 29 years old. He'll be 30 in December. Mitch Haniger's 30. He'll be 31 in December. He's under contract next season. So someone's got to riddle me, why do we want to get rid of Mitch Haniger and then bring in Adam Frazier, same age, same everything?
Does he have the same injury history that Haniger has had?
I don't know. I don't know Frazier's injury history, no. I don't. I'm not sure.
That would be the one point of differentiation, I think. Sure. That would, and Frazier is obviously putting up better numbers by a pretty sizable clip than Haniger even is.
Well, batting average.
Yeah.
Just batting average. Keep in mind about Adam Frazier, he gets hits. He doesn't steal bases. He's got a good on base. He doesn't hit for power. There's no home runs with this guy.
No, but
there's no RBIs. Like, he gets on base. But Mitch Haniger, I mean, Mitch Haniger got 23 home runs and 59 ribbies.
As you mentioned a second ago, it is also a position group where the Mariners are less robust.
100%.
In theory.
Yeah, I don't even know who in their system. Yeah, you're right. In theory, you're robust
at that
position.
In theory, you have the prospects that you see coming on the way at outfield that could hypothetically be something for you. Less so at second
base. I'm all for Frazier, but I'm also all for keeping Mitch Haniger and not moving him at all and keeping him with the team. But again, I don't know. Maybe they have an indication from Mitch Haniger that, you know, he's out after next season, that he's not going to sign with them. That, you know, once he's a free agent, I mean, he's gone and he can go anywhere he wants. And maybe they just... They've tried to offer him a contract and he said no. So now that's leading them to try and move him. And obviously their leverage is better now to move him because they'll get more out of it. And so maybe that's the reason. And I don't know, make him a more competitive offer if that's the deal. I like Mitch Haniger.
I like what he brings
to the team. And I think that they aren't that far off.
He's been an absolute pro for the Mariners. He's been, you know, a stable presence when he's been able to be available and in the lineup. He produces. He's a good player to have as a part of your organization.
I'm bummed about the Nelson Cruz, but again, what the haul that the Twins got back, I mean, clearly there was nothing Seattle was going to offer that. If these two guys, I don't know these guys at all, but just reading the reports out of Tampa just about these two guys, that they got the Strootman and Joe Ryan, both like young 24, 25 right-handers, throw a lot of gas, AAA, and they're ready to be up in the big leagues like now. So they don't have that.
Yeah.
Clearly they don't have that in AAA because they keep putting Rafael Montero out in the game and pretending like they're trying to win the game but not by throwing him in an inning last night, which, again, was just the oddest decision this season, was yesterday. You know what? We've used the word embarrassing a lot this week. I have. It was embarrassing last night that they put him in the game.
There are a couple different realities to this. They are in a tough spot roster-wise. Both 40-man roster-wise, 25-man roster-wise, they're up against it. They don't have many spots available. It's why they've had to do some of the juggling that they have.
But what I don't understand about last night is they're fine in the bullpen.
That's what I was going to get to. Like, if you need to pitch Montero, and you do, like, if he's on your roster, he's going to have to throw for you at some point or another. You throw him in Colorado when you're down 5-1, 6-1, in a game where you're not really in it.
Yeah, why did they pitch him the day before in Colorado?
I don't know.
It was so necessary to get him innings. It was a little league answer last night from Scott Servais saying, hey, he just needed to pitch. I mean, it's not summer ball. I mean, this isn't 10-year-olds out there. This is big leagues. This is, you know, winning every game counts now. It matters as you're trying to get in the postseason. At least I think they're trying to get in the postseason. I mean, I think that's the goal, to make the playoffs. If the goal is to make the playoffs, then Rafael Montero is not inserted into the game in which you are trailing by one run in the eighth inning. You know, especially at home. I mean,
he has been very subpar for a while.
You're being very, kind.
Very subpar.
You're being kind with that. I mean, I gave you the stats. Well, I didn't give the stats. Daniel Kramer from MLB.com gave you the stats that I read earlier. They have lost each of the past seven games in which Montero has appeared. This is dating back to June 27th, as Daniel writes. In that span, he has an ERA of damn near 13. He's given up 22 hits to 56 batters in that stretch. And Scott Servais last night and his coaching staff thought in a one-run game that he's the guy, bottom of the order, who cares? He's going to be the guy that's going to get us to the bottom of the inning and give us a chance to win. And then he promptly just falls all over himself.
If I was to try to – and no, I don't think he – it's a great – it's a really tough ask to put him in that situation last night. If I was to play the other side of the card and say – it is a one-run game. The possibilities of extras exist. If they need Sewald and Graveman available to them for potentially a 10th inning, and their other guys are on the shelf because of the innings they'd thrown the 2 days prior in Colorado, maybe that's why he had to go at that point in time. But, again, that doesn't overwrite the whole throw him when you're down multiple runs in Colorado the day before, so one of your other guys are therefore available to you in that situation last night, I think is where the kind of usage is interesting to me.
One other last note is you got in my ear and told me, Michael Sean Dugar, you can follow Mike there on Twitter, at Mike Dugar, says the Seahawks have more than 90% of their players vaccinated, according to a source. That means most of the team is either fully vaccinated or awaiting a second shot or in the 14-day period following their second shot. So it sounds like they will be 100%. And again, just tying this all together, this, Rolovich, the Minnesota Vikings today have fired their offensive line coach, Rick Dennison, because he is refusing to get the vaccination. So they said, okay, but we want to be at 100%. And if you're not going to get it, we will not be there. And so we will find a new offensive line coach. And with training camp starting, I don't know if the Vikings have started now or
their first day is tomorrow.
Okay. I know the Cowboys are on the way. Seahawks are what, next Thursday? Right?
That sound? Wednesday, I believe. Okay. I think they go Wednesday, Thursday off, Friday, practice Saturday.
Here we go. This is where Curtis's life turns upside down.
It's been upside down for a minute now, Puck.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a great point. Okay, this is it for us.
Plowing ahead!
Coming up next, professional radio.
Ian Fish Credit.
Coach, I'll just tell it like it is. A lot of lack of discipline, at least in the first half here.
Who made you the coach?
No one.
You know, Ian, I took a picture with Tiger Woods earlier today. Tiger Woods is in our sports pit.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. He's doing great. Knee looks good.
Yeah, good.
And, you know, it's just, you know, me and him and two guys that love a good Perkins.
Who doesn't love a good Perkins?
And then Tim Booth, a esteemed writer for the AP, wrote, the Tremendous 12 was a high school breakfast staple at the Ellensburg Perkins. Do you know where that is, the Ellensburg Perkins?
Where is it?
It's on that scary turnoff.
It's the first exit in Ellensburg. Before you get to actual Ellensburg.
It's the first exit where the Dairy Queen is.
Where the casino is.
The casino, yeah.
Going east.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't there a Dairy Queen there, too? And an Arby's.
Maybe? Yes, I think so. Yeah. Okay, anyways.
Yes.
Four eggs, four pieces of bacon, two sausage, hash browns, and toast, and a stack of pancakes.
Did Fibular come with that, or what?
I think you can crush that. Can you crush that?
No, I couldn't even come close.
Oh, come on.
I'm not a big pancake guy.
Oh!
Yeah.
God, you and my and my kids.
Yeah, not a big pancake.
I have to make them special German pancakes, which are like grapes.
Sour cream and a German pancake, I'm fine with.
I love pancakes.
Yeah, not a pancake.
Just a
guy.
Big. You know who's got the best pancakes?
IHOP.
No. You ever go to Vula's?
Down by North Lake Tavern.
Yeah, right next to North Lake. Oh,
really?
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's
the best pancakes in the city. They are the size of a tire.
Yeah.
And they just. You know, in the middle, you don't like pancakes, but the middle of it is just full of butter.
Uh huh.
It's the best, and it's the best black coffee ever. And you pour it yourself because you have to always wait in line.
Yeah.
They have a smoked salmon eggs Benny.
Oh.
And it's old school. It's a diner. If you've never been in there, it's a diner. You sit at the table.
See, that's one of those places.
Oh.
That's one of those places that I have probably. I mean, well, we go every year for.
Yeah.
For our drafts, for our multiple drafts, for our fantasy football to the North Lake Tavern. But that is a place that literally, I've been by 1,000 times in my life, and I've never been in there. But I've always thought, I bet that would be good. Now I know it's good.
I'm
going to have to try that this fall.
You know what?
I'm going to have to try that this fall. I might give that a go.
I don't know. Whatever you would be over, just go in there. The people are so nice. It's all regulars all the time.
Okay, when I say I don't like pancakes, I will also, with this little caveat, I like IHOP pancakes.
Okay.
I like the IHOP pancake, to me, is the only one I just...
We'll try this one.
Okay. IHOP pancakes are very good.
They're just different. The butter on top, you get the blackberry syrup or the strawberry syrup.
This is going to blow your way. You're going to blow out.
All right, I'll give that a shot.
Now, but get the eggs Benny. Get smoked salmon eggs Benny there, too.
Well,
they got everything. A scramble, omelets, whatever you want at Vula's. You can have anything, man.
Yeah.
Have you been to Vula's, Shockey? No, I don't know.
No, he said no.
I thought he was looking at something else.
No, he said no. He's got, we're show prep here, fella.
Okay, God. How much show prep before the damn thing starts?
Yeah, no, we just, you know, he's going to have a baby here. We got a little, lots going on here in the Shockey.
Lord almighty.
See, when you tell me a smoked salmon eggs, Benny, when I start thinking about anything with a Benedict and seafood, I think about the Salmon Bay Cafe.
I'd go to Salmon Bay Cafe all the time.
I mean, that when I was living on...
Yeah.
When I was a young lad, pre-married, and living on Lower Queen Anne and this, on Newton Avenue, like, I can't tell you how many times my buddy Doobie and I would go there with about a 4-star hangover and just go big
at the Salmon Bay Cafe. Salmon Bay Cafe is rocking and rolling, man. They were open during the pandemic. They were doing to-go orders.
Yeah.
It's still the same spot. My only issue every time I go to Salmon Bay Cafe is their service is just rough. But that's okay. They just are very slow. But the food is fantastic.
It is way slow. But that's fine.
It's slow. It's fine. Yeah, I know that going in, so I prep myself.
Yeah, when back in the, long, long, long time ago, back in the day, like my buddy Doobie, my buddy Shramick, lived close by on the same side of the Queen Anne Hill, and we would just stumble in there on a Sunday morning after a long session the night before, usually ending up at the Thai Tongue or something in Chinatown, and we'd kind of soak up all the poison from the night before at the Salmon Bay Cafe. That place is fantastic. Yes.
Someone tweet the diner so I can understand the name. Vula's. Am I not pronouncing it well? I don't know. It's right next to the North Lake
Just
Tavern.
Just go to the North Lake Tavern. And if you don't know where the North Lake Tavern is and you're not a local, Vula's, you probably don't deserve
Offshore
to go there.
Cafe. It's V-O-U-L-A-S. Vula's.
The North Lake Tavern. One size pizza, basically.
My wife will never refuses to go back.
Why?
After one time.
Why? Was there an incident?
But that was fine.
Oh, okay.
We got there and then... this is when we were like 26.
Right.
20 years ago.
So yeah.
We didn't have her ID. She didn't have her ID.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, well, we need your ID. She's like, come on. I'm 21. Whatever. But then we made the mistake of ordering like a veggie pizza.
What? Excuse me?
I know. But they put, they put so many toppings on their pizza there.
Yeah.
That it was so many vegetables. It literally was like leaking through. It had melted like it's soggy in the middle.
Well, that's the thing with the North Lake pizza is that it's basically one piece and then you've got leftovers because there's so much on top of it.
Even if you just go meat,
it's like a pound of pepperoni on one piece.
What do we got? It's wrap day, I would assume.
Yeah, we kind of gave wrap, unlike you with Mikey G, we gave wrap some time off and we're going to restart his engine sometime middle of August once training camp was kind of fully underway.
Okay.
But I would term it a special emergency session of Rappaport today.
Love it.
So we're going to get him on right off the start of the show, like at 1:05 today. We'll get Rap Sheet on and figure out so Minnesota turfed their guy, huh? Thanks for coming.
Turfed him out. Denison out.
There's an assistant with the Patriots who's out too.
Okay. Really?
Well,
Cole Popovich is his name, I believe.
Greg's kid?
Yeah. I don't know. Mike Reese confirms that Patriots coach Cole Popovich won't be coaching the team in a decision related to the COVID-19.
Easier to turf the coaches than the players.
Way easier to turf a coach than a player.
You're going
to
turf Cole Beasley? You're going to take away a target for Josh Allen?
How's DeAndre doing these days? Is he better now?
You're right. You're going to take Hopkins out? You're going to tell Kyler Murray you can't have DeAndre Hopkins?
Or DeAndre Hopkins is just going to have to dress in a separate locker room or whatever? I mean, it's
crazy.
It's all the things, Well, what are we going to do in P-Town?
I don't know, man. I think I just keep thinking about it. I think he either is going to get the shot or they're going to turf him. That's what I think is going to happen.
I mean, it's a pretty easy solution for him.
He'll be able to play coach this year not having a vaccine.
I think it's a pretty simple solution. Just like I've spoken to a lot of medical professionals and, I'm comfortable with it and this is what I need, just do a mea culpa, just be done.
Oh, my God. I could write him. The Puckett Crisis Firm, I could write him a paragraph.
Yes.
And it would include all of that.
Yes.
And
then we just move the hell on, right?
I don't know. Okay, rap. What else?
It's Kraken Week. We'll continue.
Kraken Week.
Yeah, we got Connor Roulette, who is from the T-Birds. And if you look at the most rankings, he's expected to be one of the first two or three picks in the second round. Oh. Guess who picks third in the second round? We'll see if they crack and have talked to the local kids.
All right.
Yep.
All right, Fred's coming up next. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday. We promise to be better.
No shirt, no shoes, No dice.
Anybody like to smoke some pot?
I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rob you. But you were born to rub me first.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Mother of mercy,